This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Black Bike Week is an annual event held in Myrtle Beach, where motorcycle enthusiasts gather to celebrate their hobby, show off their bikes, and, yeah, party. And it's held on Memorial Day weekend, just after another big biker convention, Harley Week. That one is mostly white, and as you might guess, Black Bike Week is largely an African-American event. Biker and filmmaker Ricky Kelly attends both and noticed a big difference in the way Myrtle Beach receives the two groups, and what he discovered became the subject of his documentary, Black Beach, White Beach, A Tale of Two Beaches.
White person performs in a certain way as a young man is considered indiscretions of youth. You let the same black man get on a motorcycle, do the same things, and is considered thuggish behavior.
Filmmaker Ricky Kelly joins me now. Ricky, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
So tell us about what led you to create this documentary.
Well, just years of going and seeing the disparity in treatment warranted me going. It was one particular incident I can recall. I'm standing in front of my hotel, and these two officers rolled up on me and told me to get off the sidewalk. Now, I just paid $220 a night, and I was standing on the hotel's property, not on the street sidewalk. And, you know, I said, I'm not on the sidewalk. And he said, do you want to go to jail? And that alone, I felt so powerless. I felt that, you know, that and several other things, just the over-policing, made me decide to tell the story.
So tell us the story now about Black Bike Week itself. It's a big event. A lot of people show up, right?
Right.
Describe it for me.
Well, on a good year, we can have upwards of 500,000 people if the weather's good. On average, I'd say 350,000 people attend. And it started out with 200 people. So it's just increased phenomenally over the last few years. But it's a great event. It's a lot of camaraderie. Bikers get together and ride and see each other. They haven't seen each other since the year before. It's a good event, but again, I think it's over-policed.
Well, we'll talk about the event that precedes it a week earlier. There's something, and that's become something of a tradition, called Harley Week. You've been to that, too. Tell us about that one.
Well, Harley Week is a little more open. I mean, it's a smaller event, but they have more freedom to do whatever they want. Now it's kind of moved down to Murrells Inlet. There was an incident that happened, Myrtle Beach tried to implement a helmet law in 2008, and a lot of the Harley riders left Myrtle Beach and went down to Murrells Inlet, which is 10, 15 minutes down the road.
But the event, so you're talking about, say, 300,000 for Black Bike Week and about 30,000. So so Harley Week is a much smaller event.
Right.
A lot more police presence when it comes to Black Bike Week, but it's a bigger event, right?
Right.
So, but there was a particular event that precipitated this, and it became actually national news because there was a shooting at Black Bike Week of several years ago, and that precipitated an outcry from public officials, right?
Right.
Tell us more about that.
In 2014, three people were unfortunately killed on the Strip, and it gave the whole event a bad reputation. What happened was some young people that was from areas around Myrtle Beach that had been beefing or having words on Facebook. And when they came together at the event, of course, this unfortunate incident happened. And the city officials took that, and the governor at the time, Governor Haley, they took that as the opportunity to really clamp down on our event. A lot of people don't know that Myrtle Beach is ranked number 13th in crime in the nation as far as per capita. And what they're using their crime statistics to justify, you know, clamping down on Black Bike Week. Like, we're the real problem, but they have a problem with crime year-round in this small community.
Not something that then-Governor Nikki Haley noted when she called after. There were three people who were killed in this particular event, but as you say, not directly associated with the event itself.
There
are some local folks who happened to be involved. They got killed, and here's what then-Governor Nikki Haley had to say.
What we saw happen this weekend does not exemplify what South Carolina is, and I would strongly say, and will continue to strongly say, there are no revenues worth the bad press that we got this past weekend. There are no revenues worth the lack of companies that will come to this area because of what happened this weekend. There are no revenues worth the lack of tourism that we will lose because of what happened this past weekend. It is time for that Bike Fest to come to an end, and that is the way that I'm going to talk to the elected officials of Atlantic Beach, and I think it's time that everybody in Horry County come together and say no more.
Former Governor, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley threatening to shut down Black Bike Week. Our guest is Ricky Kelly. He's a biker and filmmaker behind Black Beach, White Beach, A Tale of Two Beaches. You actually compared the crime statistics between the two events now, the Harley Week, which is a predominantly white event, in which we have 10 times fewer people, but the crime statistics were certainly not up by a factor of 10 at Black Bike Week. Much smaller.
Right. Right. And again, they use that event, that unfortunate murder on the strip to really clamp down on us. They bring in 700 officers, excuse me. They bring in 500 on top of the 270 that they have to police the event. And it's just, you can't go 50 yards without a police officer. And they blocked off the street. It's one lane traffic, and they implemented a 23-mile traffic pattern, which is, in my estimation, unconstitutional, you know. But
it's a loop, right? So you can't get off of it. It's a 23-mile loop, and once you're on it, you can't go down the side streets. You can't go anywhere but around.
Right, exactly. Once you get trapped in it, unless you can prove that you live on this street or that you're staying in this hotel, they would not let you out that loop. And it takes 4 hours to go 23 miles at this pace. And motorcycles are built for air induction to keep them cool. So it's a lot of pushing the motorcycles for miles at a time, really. And it's just a terrible situation. Of course, they only implement that during Black Bike Week.
It's the only week that they do that. And restaurants as well. So other businesses are changed dramatically between the two events and compared to other events throughout the year, right?
Right. They tend to roll out the carpet for the city, and the businesses tend to roll out the carpet for the Harley Week. And then when we come, they pull that same carpet up, and some businesses close down, and they just say it's not worth their business, or they don't want our business. But at the root of it all, I think personally, it's there's a level of racism. This is South Carolina. And it's unfortunate in 2018 or 2017 that we still have to go through some of these things, because there was one restaurant in particular that was sued by the NAACP. They closed their doors, their front doors, and opened up their drive-through for Black business. And it's basically looks like in the 60s and the 50s, when Blacks had to go to the back of the restaurant and eat, and we had to stand outside and eat. And then their menu, they only sold barbecue, which at any other time of the year, they sell hot dogs, hamburgers, and ice cream. But just for us, it was barbecue.
Other restaurants that only used plastic dinnerware and were taking things off their tables and that sort of thing. So talk about, and as you say, there have been a couple of lawsuits already when it came to the businesses. Also, some of the signage, you point this out in your documentary, whereas in Harley Week, it's welcome bikers. Black Bike Week, it's no helmets, no hoodies. Those signs go up. So it's a very different feel.
Right. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Other events around the country, too. You talk to one woman who's a biker. She has been to other events around the country, including at Daytona, and she compared the reception for Black bikers in Daytona with the one she got in Myrtle Beach.
I just really enjoy the atmosphere in Daytona much more than Myrtle Beach, in that wherever you are in Daytona, it's welcome. You're welcome as a biker. You're not looked upon or frowned upon, and it gives you the opportunity to ride a lot more. If the police officers are looking at you, they're telling you, nice bike, wow, can't believe a woman is riding that bike. But in Myrtle Beach, it's more of, let me make sure your bike is registered. Let me make sure you have the proper insurance. Let me make sure you can even afford to ride the bike.
Now, that's Patrice, a biker with the Vicious Riders MC, one of the many who are featured in the documentary Black Beach, White Beach, A Tale of Two Beaches. And I'm here with filmmaker Ricky Kelly. So tell us more about police interactions, too. I mean, 300,000 people who descend on one beach town, that's a lot of people, and it would seem to me would require some extra policing. But tell us about the perceptions that you have about the policing.
Well, certainly, yeah. I understand an uptick in police, but this is overwhelming in some aspects. She was talking about, and that's Miss Foxy, who you just heard. She was speaking about Daytona. I spoke with some of the police officials down there, and they do policing in a different way. They would take four officers and have them walk, you know, the block. And they may have 150, 200 officers staged, you know, two blocks away. So if anything jumps off, they can respond immediately to the situation. But it's not that overwhelming presence of police.
About the interactions that you have or other African-American bikers might have with police?
Well, like she stated, I think, and it comes from when they bring a lot of outside, again, they bring in 500 officers from outside that jurisdiction. And some of these officers come from small jurisdictions where they may have 200 black people in their town, you know, and they've never dealt with 350,000 black people at one time, and it's overwhelming. And you can't just ask them, hey, where is a coffee shop, because they're not from there. And they don't seem to have that officer-friendly attitude when you come. It's like they treat us like we're a horde of gangsters that come into the city. And it's unfortunate because a lot of those people, the majority of those people, are just hardworking motorcycle owners that want to come down and let their hair down for a week and enjoy it. Because, again, I love Myrtle Beach. I just don't think Myrtle Beach loves me.
And those bikers, you among them, end up spending $30 to $40 million
a day
over that weekend.
Right, we bring in so much revenue to that city that it would make sense for them. It would behoove them to treat us better and welcome us. And I'd like to have some type of roundtable discussion and bring all the players of the game together, the mayor, the city council, business owners, bikers, and we sit around and we figure out a way, because that loop is not working, and it's just...
Well, it's driving away other tourists as well.
Certainly.
Yeah. So it could be having a reverse effect, but let's talk about the converse of this. You would think that Myrtle Beach would want to encourage $30 to $40 million a day, so why don't they... sit down and talk with you about ways to make it better. On the other hand, why do 300,000 or 400,000 people keep showing up if they're treated that way? And that's another part of the question that you treat in your movie.
Right. I don't know. It's a cultural thing or what it is about us that makes us keep going back. Because if you look back into the time of slavery and, you know, the treatment that African Americans have received in this country, we've almost become accepting of it. We don't become outraged, not all of it. Some people, like, if you don't want my business, I'm not coming back. Right. But there's a segment of our society that would just accept bad treatment. Disrespect, and we'll come back every year just for the party, you know, and I don't agree with that.
But there is a lively conversation going on about how to handle this, whether to stay and protest or leave and just pull the money and show Myrtle Beach what it's lost. But there's another important part of your film that is, I think, critical. I want to talk about it now. We talk about two beaches, Atlantic Beach, right? Tell us about that beach and its importance in this whole story.
Well, Atlantic Beach was founded in 1934. It's the last black beach on the East Coast. It was a part of the Gullah Geechee line, which runs from Wilmington all the way down to Florida. And in 34, they had some business owners to come together and bought 94 acres of land, which is now Atlantic Beach. And it was a thriving community. It was the only place that blacks could go, you know. We couldn't go to any other beach. Actually, there was a cable that ran out into the ocean, 50 feet out into the ocean, that divided the water, basically, for blacks and whites. And Atlantic Beach was, again, a thriving community up until 1968, when we had desegregation, whereas black people could take their money and go other beaches, but they never came back. And right now, Atlantic Beach is suffering because of that.
You point out in your film, it's fascinating stuff, where entertainers, African-American entertainers, would play Myrtle Beach but couldn't stay there,
right,
would come back and play Atlantic Beach, and then finally said, well, wait a minute, why are we going to Myrtle Beach? Why don't we stay here? We'll play here and stay here, right?
Right. They had no choice. Like you said, they could play at all these nice hotels, but when they got off stage, they had to leave. They couldn't eat there, and they couldn't sleep in those same hotels. So Atlantic Beach served as that place for black entertainers to go. And after they would perform on the stage in Myrtle Beach, they would go to Atlantic Beach and perform again late night for the black crowds, for their own people. But there's a rich history in Atlantic Beach. There's a lot of culture there. And I personally think that the event without Atlantic Beach, there's no bike rally. So it's very crucial to the future of the event.
Talking to filmmaker Ricky Kelly today on the state of things. The film is called Black Beach, White Beach, A Tale of Two Beaches. It explores the history of Atlantic Beach Bike Festival that is now in Myrtle Beach, going to screen as part of the Haytai Heritage Film Festival in Durham next Friday, February 16th. Tell us a little bit more about this, because now there are some real questions about whether to save or how to revive Atlantic Beach. Tell us about its condition, what's going on there today, and the efforts to bring it back.
It's a very depressed community. There's no real infrastructure. It's a small town. Like I say, it's only 94 acres of land, and they have 350-400 year-round residents. And they've used the same political system for the last, 30 years. It's one family, the Evans family, who have been mayors. The mother's been a mayor, the father's been a mayor, the sister, the brother. It's like a family thing. It's a small community. But they want developers to come in, but they want the right developers. They don't want the big skyscraper buildings to just look like any other town. They want to hold on to some of the historical relevance of Atlantic Beach. And I have no problem with that. It's a beautiful beach. It's just undeveloped. Right now it looks like a third world nation because there's nothing there. But if you bring in the wrong developers again, it'll just be another city and it'll lose that spirit of African-American ownership that it's had over the last, 70 years.
It's a complicated question, one further complicated by the relationship with the state. You talked about the state holding up grant money and other aid money over political issues, right?
Right. The mayor said that if the state offered money to them, if they would shut down the Black Bike Week, but how do you stop 350,000 people from coming? You can't just close off the doors to the city. So that was just a non-starter for him. And then he felt like, why do they have to? This event is once a year, and it brings revenue. It maybe 90% of the revenue that they make in that year is made right during that weekend. So
And it's an interesting request, again, getting back to the crime statistics that, 10 times the number of people, but maybe twice the number of arrests, and about the same percentage of increase for stops and traffic violations. So if you have a tenfold increase in people and only a twofold increase in crime, you'd wonder why it is you're trying to what's the rationale for shutting it down and withholding, grant money or offering money if you'll shut it down.
I'm not one to want to like point the finger of racism at everything, but we have to be real about the situation. This is South Carolina, and it has a historic history of racism, and I think a lot of that is still being perpetrated today.
What are you hoping people to take away from your film?
I hope people will look at Atlantic Beach and understand the relevance of Atlantic Beach and go down and buy some land, buy a lot, come visit the place, during the off season but bring revenue to that city. I hope it'll bring a nationwide attention to that city because, again, this is like one of the last black beaches in America and we have to hold on to it because when it's gone, it's gone.
Ricky Kelly, the filmmaker behind the new documentary Black Beach, White Beach, A Tale of Two Beaches, explores the history of Atlantic Beach Bike Festival and the beach itself. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
The film will screen as part of the Haytai Heritage Film Festival in Durham next Friday, February 16th. You can also see it at Cat's Cradle in Carrboro Sunday on the 18th. And, of course, we've got that at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a conversation with artist Toni Scott about her provocative work that explores the boundaries of race and identity. Stay with us.